This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. On the job site, did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
We're listening to Macca and Paul here on Joy 94.9. Now, we're trying to get hold of Jeff Sparrow, who's the commentator, to talk about the economic alternatives. He's just trying to call me now, Macca, so one moment.
Yep, sure. So, again, all the community out there that is supporting us, it's really, really encouraging, the messages you're sending us. And I really want to, do a call out to all our presenters and our staff and our key volunteers that are keeping Joy on air in this really challenging time. We're looking at things very differently. You know, we're doing so much of our broadcasting remotely. To be honest, I am completely and totally blown away by how we're doing that and the quality of what we're putting to air and the way that the Joy community has really stepped up. It makes me feel so good. We got Jeff Sparrow on the phone, Paul.
We do indeed, Macca.
G'day, Jeff. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, look, we're all in this boat together. It's got a few leaks. We just got to bail a bit harder to make sure we stay above water. So
I think it might be more than a few leaks, but yes.
I think there are. I think it's
an extraordinary time.
So the economic alternatives in this, I think this, if I can just say, one of the challenges, and we're speaking to Brendan Nottle about this, that one of the things I hope that comes out of this is people that have never had any engagement both with the government and the not-for-profit, and in some instances the business community's welfare support in the past, are now having to access that. And I hope that what comes out of that is that, when we come out the other end, they realise, the system we had wasn't that good. We need to do it better. And the economy is going to be changed forever as a result of this. And you've written a number of pieces. I'd like your take on that, Jeff.
Yeah, look, I think that's one of the striking outcomes that we've seen so far, that all of a sudden economic interventions that previously would have been considered utterly beyond the pale have become mainstream all around the world. I mean, we've seen the Conservative government in Britain instituting payments to people, to everyone who's lost their wages. It's been various politicians in America calling for the nationalisation of the health industry. And we've seen in Australia, Scott Morrison essentially doubling the dole payments after years and years of both parties insisting that that there was nothing that could be done about welfare. And I think one of the points that's becoming increasingly obvious is that this crisis is exacerbating all of the failures of the past and drawing out all of the weaknesses that were apparent previously that never received any attention, from the sort of failures in the welfare system to the failures in the health system to, the weaknesses of various governments. All of that is becoming painfully obvious as we face an extraordinary and deepening crisis.
It reminds me of the Split Ends song, or that line, 6 months in a leaky boat. I think, you talked about some of the extraordinary policy responses that previously would never have been considered. I think the most significant for me is in the US, that you've seen sick leave, which has always been something that's been really lacking in the American employment system. you know, and a whole lot of other measures that, you know, I imagine there are some Republicans and some Democrats that are absolutely beside themselves, you know, that, oh my God, we're actually, you know, that this is happening and that they're doing it. On both sides of the argument, you know, the wage subsidies in the UK, the doubling of income support. Is the challenge going to be, Jeff, as we come out the other end of this, how is the economy, in your opinion, how is it going to be different in a good way and perhaps in a not-so-good way?
I think that we are likely to see extraordinary struggles over who bears the burden of this crisis. I think we're in a stage now where governments are taking actions that they never would have thought possible a few months, let alone a few weeks earlier,
yeah.
even. And I think that as soon as they get a breathing space, that there will be a determined attempt to pass the cost of these on to the population as a whole. And in that context, I think one of the more dangerous aspects of what's taking place is that there's an extraordinarily undemocratic tenor to many of the decisions that have been made. Parliament, for instance, is not going to sit for months while this crisis is taking place. We have a kind of corporatist crisis managed system being put in place by the Morrison government, where many of the important decisions are going to be made by, you know, people who aren't scientists or anything like that, but have backgrounds in the mining industry.
Yeah.
I think we're likely to see an extraordinarily strengthening of border politics as well. So, you know, like all of those are threats that we have to deal with. At the same time, I think what this crisis clearly has shown is that the consensus around the free market as the only way that the world could possibly be organised has now irrevocably broken down, because it's clear there always were other alternatives. And in fact, when a crisis like this breaks out, it becomes apparent that the free market simply cannot cope, because what would be a market solution to the crisis? A market solution to the crisis would be those who can afford to pay for medicine get medicine, and those who can't, well, simply die. And most people, that kind of notion runs just counter to all of their basic human values, and people aren't prepared to put up with it.
And I think, again, Jeff, you know, the reality is that there's going to be many, many challenges for government in this. One of them is going to be, okay, we've resisted for years an increase in income support on New Start and other benefits. Now, all of a sudden, we've doubled it, and we've doubled it for 6 months. You know, we've actually extended the mutual obligations to April 27, which, interestingly, is the date that the first increase payments will be made, just a coincidence, of course. At the end of all this, what we're going to have is the government is going to be faced with a situation where, okay, we're getting back on track, you know, we're getting some economic activity going again, you know, now we're going to cut those benefits. I think that's going to be a really difficult thing to do. I'm not saying, you know, you can keep it at the same level. That will, you know, that argument may not fly, but somewhere between where it was and where it is now is where it needs to land. I think, you know, to expect someone to live on $550 a fortnight, you know, plus perhaps some rent assistance, there are going to be so many thousands of people that are going to discover, even when that's doubled, it's actually not really that possible. So I think there's going to be a political imperative to that. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I think that's an obvious flashpoint. The fact that these social security payments are mooted as being merely temporary, but I think it's broader and more extensive than that. We know from previous recessions that many of the people who lose their jobs will never
get them back.
Again.
Yeah,
You know, like, we are talking about an extraordinary scale of job losses. A recent survey in one of the papers showed 1 in 10 Australians have said that they've already lost their jobs. I think it was a figure of 2.3 million Americans applying for welfare payments. And I think the other really important factor that hasn't been brought out enough in discussions about this is that this recession is being brought on by the coronavirus. but it's taken place in a context where the world economy was extraordinarily weak in many respects and never really recovered from the GFC. So I think the prospect of the economy roaring back when these restrictions are lifted is actually very slim. We are more likely to see a long, grinding period of stagnation with very, very high levels of unemployment. And, you know, I mean, I think this is a recipe for considerable social unrest. And I'm quite concerned, for instance, about the possibility of the far right growing out of this. Is already a kind of nativist trend that's apparent around the way some people are talking about the coronavirus, and Trump in particular has been stoking this with his, you know, references to China virus. So, yeah, I mean, I think we are heading towards very serious and potentially quite disturbing times. I would just say, repeat again, though, the one positive aspect about it is it's becoming clear to people that there are choices that can be made, and it's possible to make different choices than the ones that we have been making, particularly in the context when, of course, the previous looming crisis, that of climate change, has not gone away. I mean, it's striking that no one now is talking about the bushfires that until very recently dominated the public discourse. And, you know, what's going to happen the next bushfire season? We may still be suffering from coronavirus and then have another bushfire catastrophe on top of that.
Yeah, and, you know, you'll probably appreciate this. I sent a message to the Treasurer the other day. Red is the new black.
Yeah, well, indeed.
And, you know, we're talking about a deficit, potential deficit of $180 billion. Now, that's a frightening figure. But I say, you know what? If that has made the ability for Australians to come through this and come out the other side and then start to rebuild, I think it's worth it. But I do think the challenge is, and, you know, as you say, and everyone is going to have a different view on this, on the left, on the right, in the centre. You know, the reality is the system, the economic system that we've worked with can't cope with this. Now, that's not to say that one, you know, on the other side, you know, on the, you know, what some would say on the left, is going to cope with it better. But the reality is we haven't coped, and we're really going to have a long, hard look at the system we're going to go on with, because, you know, if this happens again, which it will, it's going to be even worse.
Yes, I mean, I think that's true. I mean, we have to ask ourselves, why is it that pandemics are emerging and spreading with the virality that they are at the moment? And one of the reasons for that is that the global expansion of capital means that humans are pushing into areas of wilderness that have never previously had contact with humans before, and so some of these rapidly developing cities in China have become flashpoints for the crossover of viruses from animals to humans. Now, that's an economic problem, and in some ways you can see in that that relationship, the contradictory relationship between humans and nature is... there's a parallel there with what's happening in terms of climate change.
Oh, exactly.
In some respects, these two problems that we're seeing are actually fundamentally connected.
Yeah.
And so we can't think that because of the coronavirus, climate change has gone away, because it hasn't. In many ways, what we're seeing now is a kind of illustration of how frightening the future may be if we don't actually do something about climate change.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Jeff, we've run out of time. We will get you back again soon, and I encourage people. The most recent one was in The Guardian, is that right?
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, your most recent piece. So encourage people, have a look at that, and, you know, support The Guardian. Independent journalism is very important, just as independent radio. So thanks, Jeff, and we'll speak to you again real soon.
No worries. Okay, see ya. Bye.
Cheers.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.